Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to continue studying the Gemara of Shabbos. We are on page 55a, Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and we are right at the top. And we're going to talk about another situation that the Gemara explains. And the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda was sitting in front of Shmuel when a woman came and cried in front of Shmuel. And what she was crying about was an injustice that had been done against her. And Shmuel didn't pay any attention to her. So Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, "Doesn't the master hold in accordance with the verse?" And this is a verse in Proverbs, Perek Chaf Aleph. So Proverbs 21, verse 13. And it says, "Otem azno mizakas dal gam hu yikra v'lo yane." Whoever stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself, but shall not be heard. So he says back to him, he calls him a person with big teeth, and he says, "Your superior," meaning me, your teacher, "will be punished with cold water. The superior of your superior will be punished in hot water." So Mar Ukva, who at the time was the Nasi, he was the president of the court. And Shmuel was saying here that Marukva is responsible for those matters. So the Gemara is going to talk about this interesting point that we learned in the last daf, which was, where do we get this idea that responsibility is incumbent upon the house of the exilarch? So Dichtiv, as it's written, Beis David kamar Hashem, the house of David, so says Hashem, Dinu labokar mishpat v'hatzilu gazul miyad oshek pen teitzei chayish chamasi uva'ara ve'im mechabe mipnei roa me'aleihem v'gur. So it says, it's a pasuk in Jeremiah 21:12, and it says, "House of David, so says Hashem, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is robbed out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go forth like fire and burns, so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." And so the reference to Beis David, the house of David, is that the exilarch, the Resh Galusa, was a direct descendant of the house of David. So regarding this issue of reprimanding, so it was said that Amar Le Rebbe Zeira Le Rebbe Simon, Rebbe Zeira said to Rebbe Simon, "So let the master reprimand the members of the house of the Resh Galusa, of the exilarch," because Rebbe Simon had, apparently, he had some influence over them. So Rebbe Simon says back to him, "They will not accept a reprimand from me." So Rebbe Zeira says to him, "So let my master reprimand them even if they don't accept it." Dama Rebbe Acha ber Rebbe Chanina. So as Rebbe Acha, the son of Rebbe Chanina, says, "Never did a promise manifesting a good attribute emerge from the mouth of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he later retracted it and rendered it evil." So basically, he is saying that when Hashem makes a promise for something good, he never retracts it and makes it into something evil, except, as the Gemara says, with regard to this matter, as it says in the book of Yechezkel in Ezekiel 9:4. And it says, "And Hashem said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a tav, like a marker, a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry on account of all the abominations that are done in her midst," etc. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the angel Gabriel, "Go and inscribe a tav of ink on the foreheads of the righteous, so that would be a sign so that the angels of destruction will not have any dominion over them. And inscribe a tav of blood on the foreheads of the wicked as a sign so that the angels of destruction will have dominion over them." So the attribute of justice said before Hashem, he said, "Master of the universe, how are these different from those?" So Hashem answers the attribute of justice and says, "So these are full-fledged righteous people, and those are fully fledged wicked people." So the Midas HaDin, the attribute of justice, says back to Hashem, "Master of the universe, it was in the hands of the righteous to protest the conduct of the wicked, and they didn't protest. So Hashem says back to the attributes, he says, it's revealed and known before me that even had they protested the conduct of the wicked, they would not have accepted the reprimand from them. Right? So Hashem is saying that the wicked aren't going to pay any attention, and they're going to continue to be wicked. So the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice, said back to Hashem, Master of the universe, if it is revealed before you, in the sense that their reprimand would have been ineffective, is it revealed to them? Meaning, do they know it? So at that point, Hashem retracted his promise to protect the righteous, and he decided that those who failed to protest would also be punished. V'hainu d'chtiv, and this is the meaning of that which is written, and in Yechezkel, a verse in Yechezkel 9:6, and it says, we should utterly slay old and young, maids and little children and women, but don't come near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my mikdash, at my sanctuary. And it also says in the same pasuk, then they began with the elderly men who were before the house. So Rav Yosef says, don't read mikdashi, my sanctuary, rather we should read mekudashai, those who were sanctified to me. So these are people who observe the whole Torah in its entirety, from Aleph through Tav, basically A to Z. And immediately it says in Yechezkel again, and behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man with his weapon of destruction in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in linen, and he had a writer's inkwell by his side. And they went in and they stood beside the bronze altar, the Mizbach HaNechoshes. So the Gemara says, was there in fact a Mizbach Nechoshes? Was there a bronze altar in the temple at the time of Yechezkel? So already in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, there was only a stone altar. So rather, we should understand this, the Gemara says, like a figure of speech. And we should understand it in this manner. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, so begin from the place where they recite the songs of praise in front of me. So we know that the Levim, the Levites, would be in the temple, and they would sing songs of praise to Hashem, and their musical instruments, they had bronze instruments. The Gemara says, and who are the six men mentioned here? Rav Chista said, they are fury, wrath and rage, destroyer, and breaker, and annihilator. Basically, these are six angels of destruction. So the Gemara asks, so what's different about the letter Tav, that it was inscribed on the foreheads of the righteous? Amar Rav, Rav says that Tav is the first letter of the word Tichye, which means you shall live. So that indicates that the righteous people should live. And Tav is also the first letter of the word Tamut, which means you shall die. So that indicates that the wicked should die. And Shmuel says, the letter Tav is the first letter of the word Tama, which means to cease, and that indicates that the merit of the patriarchs has ceased and won't help the wicked. And Rabbi Yochanan said that the letter Tav is the first letter of the word Tachon, and Tachon means to have mercy, so that indicates that due to the merit of the patriarchs, Hashem will have mercy on the righteous. Now Reish Lakish says that the letter Tav is the last letter of the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rabbi Hanina said, that the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. And truth in Hebrew is emes, aleph, mem, tav. It ends at the letter tav. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that the letter tav teaches us that these are people who observe the entire Torah, from aleph through tav, from A to Z. Now, a minute ago, the Gemara mentioned a statement that the merit of the patriarchs had ceased. The Gemara asked a question. So from what time, did the merit of the patriarchs cease? Rav says that from the days of the prophet Hosea, the son of Be'eri, as it says in the pasuk in Hosea, it says, and now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. Basically, that pasuk is saying that Israel is not going to be saved anymore because of the merit of the patriarchs. And Shmuel said that the merit of the patriarchs, of the Avos, it ceased since the days of Hazael, because it says in the book of Malachim, in the second book of Malachim, 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 22, it says, "And Hazael, Melech Aram, the king of Aram, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz." And it's also written there in the next pasuk. It says, "And Hashem was gracious to them and had compassion on them. And he turned towards them because of his covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he would not destroy them." So neither was he till now cast, neither has he till now cast them away from him. So that implies that that was the last time that the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was actually mentioned. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Amar, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that the merit of the Avos ceased since the days of Eliyahu HaNavi, because it says in the first book of Kings, in chapter 18, verse 36, and it says, "Vayhi ba'alos ha'mincha," came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice, that Eliyahu HaNavi came near and he said, "Hashem, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, so let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all of these things at your word." So what is being inferred here is that it should be known today, but not after today, that because the matrix, the merit of the Avos is going to stop today. And Rabbi Yochanan gave his opinion. He says that the merit of the patriarchs ceased since the days of Chizkiyahu. As it says in the book of Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For the increase of the realm and for peace without end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from now and forever, the zeal of Hashem of hosts performs this." That pasuk is saying so that from that moment on that the merit of the patriarchs isn't going to protect Israel anymore, and it leaves only the idea of Kinas Hashem, so sort of like the zeal of Hashem, or you can even translate that as like the jealousy of Hashem. Amar Rav Ame. So now the Gemara is going to continue to discuss what we've been discussing, which is the idea of punishment in general, and the relationship between a person's actions and the punishment that's given to a person for those actions. So Amar Rav Ame. Rav Ame says, "There is no death without sin. Ein mita b'lo chait." Implying that if a person doesn't sin, he's not going to die. "Ve'ein yisurin b'lo avon." And there's no suffering without iniquity. So the Gemara is going to try and bring some proofs for this. So for the first piece, which says there's no death without sin, as it says in the book of Yechezkel, chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So basically what the pasuk is saying is it's a proof that a person dies only because of his own sins and not because of some pre-existing sin, like in some religions in the world have that philosophy. Not so among the Torah. The next piece, there's no suffering without iniquity, as it says in the book of Tehillim, 89:33. It says, "Then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with strokes," as we flip over to 55b. The Gemara raises an objection from the Brisa, and it says, "The Malachei Hashares, the ministering angels, said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu," they said before Hashem, "Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, why did you punish Adam, the first man, with the death penalty?" Hashem says to him, "I gave him a simple mitzvah, and he violated it." So the angel said back to him, "But didn't Moshe and Aaron, who observed the whole Torah in its entirety, didn't they die at some point?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the angels, and he's citing the verse in Koheles, he says, "All things come to be the same for everybody. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good, etc." So apparently death isn't dependent upon the person's actions because everybody dies, even somebody like Moshe, even somebody like Aaron, who observed the entire Torah. So that seems to be a refutation of what we just learned. The Gemara answers that Rav Ami stated his position in accordance with this Tana, who was taught in a Braisa, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, "Even Moshe and Aaron died due to their sin." Because it says in the book of Bamidbar, Perek Chof, so chapter 20, verse 12, it says, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, because you didn't believe in me, etc. So, you know, you're not going to bring this congregation into land. And, but Hashem prefaces this punishment by saying, because you didn't believe in me. Had you believed in me, the Gemara says, and in this context, it's the story of how Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock, and instead he hit it. So had you believed in me and you actually did what you were supposed to do, your time would not yet have come to leave the world. So it seems from this that even Moshe and Aaron died due to their sins. So the Gemara raises another objection from something that was taught in a Braisa. The Braisa says, if four people died due to Adam's sin with the serpent, in the wake of his death was decreed upon all of mankind, although they themselves were free of sin, right? So there are four people who died because the fact that death was pronounced upon people, even though these individuals that we're going to mention now were completely free of sin. And the Gemara says, and they are Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, Benjamin, right? Amram, the father of Moshe, Yishai, the father of David, and Kilav, the son of David. So all of them were learned through a tradition, except for Yishai, the father of David, with regard to whom there is an explicit verse that has to be interpreted, because it says, the Pasuk says in the second book of Shmuel, chapter 17, verse 25, it says, and Avshalom placed Amasa in charge of the army in the place of Yoav, and Amasa was the son of a man named Ithra HaYisraeli, Yisra HaYisraeli, who had taken to himself Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, the sister of Tsruya, the mother of Yoav. The Gemara asks, so, but was Avigail the daughter of Nachash? Wasn't she actually the daughter of Yishai? Because it's written in the book of Chronicles, Perek, the first book of Chronicles, Perek Base, the second chapter, verses 13 through 17, it says, it talks about all the different genealogies, and then it comes to the phrase that is appropriate here. It says, and their sisters were Zeruiah and Avigail, right? So it talks about David, the son of David, Ozem, Radai, all of these people who were the sons, the children of Yishai. So it seems from this pasuk in Chronicles, in Divrei Yamim, that Avigail was in fact the daughter of Yishai. So rather, the verse states that Avigail was the daughter of Nachash in order to teach us something. And what is it that is trying to teach us? That she was the daughter of a person who died on account of Adam's sin with the Nachash, with the serpent, though he himself was free of sin, he himself being Yishai. So she was called the daughter of Nachash because it shows that it was because of Adam and the sin with the snake, with the serpent. Otherwise, Yishai himself was free of sin. Now, the Gemara now is going to clarify this. The Gemara says, so who is the Tana of the Braisa that says this, that the four people died not due to their own sins? If you say that it's the Tana who taught that the conversation between the Malachi Asharis, the ministering angels, and Hashem, so that's difficult. Because as weren't there also Moshe and Aaron who didn't die due to their own sins, they're not listed among those four. So rather, the Gemara says, it has to be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he holds that even Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron died because of their own sins. So Shmami, now we should learn from this that the principle agrees that there is death without sin, and there is suffering without iniquity. So therefore, this is the Tiyufta. It's a conclusive refutation of the opinion of Ravame. And the Gemara says, indeed, Tiyufta, it is a conclusive refutation of that opinion. So the Gemara mentioned the sins of some of the significant ancestors of the Jewish people. The Gemara is now going to talk about, as it often does, it talks about tangential things. It's going to talk about several different additional ancestors of ours. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonasan said, anyone who says that Reuven sinned with Bilhah is nothing other than mistaken. Now, if you remember in the Torah, in the book of Bereishis, that Reuven had, it says in there that when Israel was dwelling in the land, that Reuven went and he lay with Bilhah, who was one of the Pilegish, the concubines of Yaakov, and that Israel, Yaakov heard of it. And then it said, right after that, if you look in the Torah, it's an incomplete pasuk, and it says the sons of Yaakov were 12. So this Torah, the fact that the Torah states the number of Yaakov's son at that point, so seemingly it's like a completely superfluous thing to say in the middle of a narrative that, oh, the sons of Yaakov were 12. But it teaches us that even after the incident involving Bilhah, all of the brothers were still equal in their righteousness. So apparently Reuven didn't sin. So what do I do with this verse, this pasuk that says, and he lay with Bilhah, the Pilegesh Aviv, his father's concubine? Because if you read it just by its plain meaning, it indicates that he committed a sin, God forbid, with Bilhah. So really the Gemara says that this verse teaches that Reuven rearranged his father's bed in protest, because Yaakov placed his bed in the tent of Bilhah and not in the tent of Leah after Rachel Imenu died, after Rachel, our mother, died. So Yaakov took his bed and put it in Bilhah's tent. So Reuven went and he moved bed around. So, but the verse, the pasuk, gives him liability, basically says that he's liable as if he had actually slept with Bilhah. So Tanya was taught in a brisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that this righteous person, meaning Reuven, was saved from that sin of adultery, and that action did not come to be performed by him. Is it possible, the Gemara says, that his descendants are destined to stand on Mount Eval and say, "Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife"? And all the people said, "Amen." This pasuk in Devarim 27. Is it also possible that this sin will come to be performed by him? Is it even conceivable that the members of a tribe would stand there and curse their ancestor like this? So what do I do then? How do I establish the meaning of the verse that he lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine? And the Gemara says that it's understood like this. He protested the affront to his mother. So he said, if my mother's sister, which is Rachel Imenu, if she was a rival to my mother, will then my mother's sister's concubine be a rival to my mother? So then he immediately stood up and he rearranged her bed so that Yaakov would go into Leah's tent. So he was doing this to protect the honor of his mother, Leah, Imenu. So Acherim say, others say, he rearranged two beds, one of the Shechina, one of the divine presence, and one of his father. And that's really the meaning of the verse when it says in the book of Bereishis, chapter 49, verse 4, part of the pasuk says, "Then you did defile it." And he went up to my bed, Yitzui, it says in Hebrew. Gemara says, don't read it as Yitzui, but rather read it as Yitzui, in my beds, plural, with an S at the end. So that referring to the bed of his father and to the bed, so to speak, of the divine presence, which the Shechina, which rests in the tents of the righteous people. So the Gemara now is going to bring a parallel to the idea of the innocence of Reuven is similar to a dispute between Tanaim, because it was taught in Bryce that there's a pasuk that says, "Unstable as water, you shall not excel." The word "unstable" is we translate the word pachas as unstable. So the Chachamim understood this word pachas to be an acronym. Rabbi Eliezer says that it means pazota, which means you were impulsive, chafta, you were liable, and zalta, you acted contemptuously. Rabbi Yeshua says that it means that you trampled the law, pasata al das, you sinned, chatata, and zanita, you were promiscuous. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that the acronym refers to pilalta, you prayed, zarcha, you trembled, meaning you were afraid, zarcha tefilasecha, at your prayer, and your prayer shone forth. Rabbi Gamliel said that we still need the explanation of the Modai, as Rabbi Eliezer HaModai said, that we should reverse the order of the letters in the word pachas, and then we should interpret it, we should darshan this out like this, that you shook, and the word in the Gemara here is zizata, and that you recoiled, here tata, And so the chet in pachas then is changed with the letter hey, so that you're not going to sin. And then the sin, continuing on, the sin flew from you. Parach chet mimcha. It flew from you. So Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar HaModai are of the opinion that Reuven didn't sin. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua held that he actually did. So Rava says, and some say that Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba say, we should reverse the letter in Pachas and we should interpret it like this, that you remembered, you zacharta, the punishment for that offense. You made yourself gravely ill, chalita, chalita, and you made yourself ill in order to refrain from sinning, and then you successfully withdrew from sinning. Peirashta milchato. Now the Gemara is going to talk about a few more things here, and there's some statements of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, and it brings a mnemonic, and the mnemonic is Reuven, the sons of Eli, the sons of Shmuel, David and Shlomo, Yoash, and that's the siman, that's the mnemonic. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says that Rabbi Yonasan said, anyone who says that the sons of Eli sinned is nothing other than mistaken, because it's written in the book of Shmuel, the first book of Shmuel 1:3, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, were the Kohanim to Hashem. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yonasan holds in accordance with the opinion of Rav, because Rav said that Pinchas did not sin. And the verse juxtaposes Hophni to Pinchas. So just as Pinchas didn't sin, so too Hophni didn't sin. So the Gemara asks, so how then do I establish the meaning of this verse? Where it says later on in the next perek, that in Shmuel, it says, now Eli was very old and he heard all that his sons did to Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tent of meeting. So this seems to indicate that he did sin. The Gemara answers that basically since the sons of Eli, they delayed sacrificing the bird offerings of women who had had a baby, a pair of doves was brought as part of the purification process after birth. So this delay caused the women not to go to their husbands in a timely fashion. And so because they that of that delay, the verse, the pasuk, ascribes to Hophni and Pinchas liability as if they had actually slept with them. So they were really guilty of nothing more than being negligent and careless by not doing this at the in the appropriate amount of time. So now the Gemara. So Rav says that Pinchas did not sin, because it says in the book, the first book of Shmuel, chapter 14, verse 3, it says that Ahiya ben Achituv, who was the brother of Ichavod, the son of Pinchas, the son of Eli HaKohen, of Hashem. So is it possible that sin would come through to Pinchas, to his hand, and that nevertheless the verse would still trace hit the lineage of his grandson, Ahiya, all the way back to him? The Gemara says that wasn't it already said with regard to those who engage in promiscuity? It says in the book of Malachi 2:12, it says, Hashem will cut off from the man that does this, him that is awake and him that answers from the tents of Yaakov, or any to present an offering to Hashem of hosts. So the Chachamim interpreted this verse that says if the sinner is a Jew, he will not have among his descendants a person who is awake among the sages, meaning a person who is sharp, sharp-minded, or even one among their disciples who can answer questions. And if he's a Kohen, he will not have a son who will present a meal offering. So if Pinchas had sons and grandsons that were serving as Kohanim, we should conclude from this that Pinchas didn't sin. But the Gemara asks, but it's written though, that Asher Yishkevun, how they lay, Yishkevun with the women. So this verb Yishkevun is in the plural, which indicates that both of the sons of Eli were guilty, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be written in the plural. And the Gemara answers, it's written without a tav. It's written Yud Shin Kaf Ves Nun Safi. It's written without a vav. Sorry, not a tav, a vav. It's written without a vav, so that it can be read as Yishkevein in the singular. which would mean that he laid with them, indicating that only one of them sinned. The Gemara asks further, but isn't it written that Eli said, Al banai ki lo tova hashmua, no, my sons, in the word banai, plural, for it is not a good report that I hear. And that's in the book of first book of Shmuel, Perek Beis. So the fact that Eli referred to his sons in the plural indicates that they both sinned. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said that it's written in a manner that can be read as bani, my son, which would be in the singular. Another question by the Gemara. Isn't it written, ma'avirim, you make the Lord's people to transgress? That word ma'avirim is in the plural. That indicates that both sons were guilty. The Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, said, here also the word is written without a yud. It's written so that it can be read, you cause, ma'aviram, you cause the Lord's people to transgress, which is in the singular tense, indicating that only one of them sinned. The Gemara raises another challenge. It says in the book of Shmuel, first book of Shmuel, chapter 2, verse 12, now the sons of Eli were scoundrels, b'nei v'liya'al. That indicates that they were both sinners, because b'nei, there was two of them. And Gemara answers, since Pinchas should have protested Chofni's conduct, and he didn't protest, so the verse will ascribe to him the liability as if he sinned. And we're going to hold it here. The last line of this daf on daf 55 is going to be quoting Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, who quotes Rabbi Yonasan, and they're going to talk further about this issue of ascribing liability to somebody who doesn't protest in the context of us discussing the sons of Eli and other ancestors. Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to pick it up on the top of Daf 56a. Baruch Hashem.